This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
The 5 o'clock whistle, powered by Smart Local Union 9 sheet metal workers.
Just moments ago!
Roll Tide!
1.7! 1.7! Long shot, good as it goes!
Colorado
wins! The Buffaloes have won!
Wow!
That was a close game, Zach.
With a couple minutes left, it looked like CU was just in firm control. Florida made a run, and it was KJ Simpson with a second left, propelling the Buffs. Colorado wins 102 to 100. And the Florida Gators, the 7th seed, go down. Colorado is moving on in their NCAA tournament. They're going to play Marquette on Sunday. Congratulations to Tad Boyle with the good juju of coming on this show.
He's going to have to come on here next week.
He's going to have to.
Not next week. That's was it Saturday or Sunday?
Well, they're going to play Sunday.
Sunday.
But if he comes on next week, that would mean they're still in the tournament.
Sweet 16 time.
So, oh my gosh, huge shout out. Huge congratulations to your CU Buffs, Tad Boyle, Tristan Da Silva, Lampkin, KJ Simpson, Hadley, Cody Williams playing minutes down the stretch in crunch time of the second half. All around incredible day for your Buffaloes.
Yeah, Tad, he deserves this, right? And you said before, you thought, and I thought too, okay, I'm going to be real. I didn't know that we were, or expect that we were going to be able to do what we're doing right now. And they were, and they did look dead in the water at some point.
They did.
But man, in this tournament today, they were scoring points. They were explosive. They were doing things that I thought we were going to see from CSU. That's what we've seen from the University of Colorado. And it just hats off to Tad for that.
The Buffs had more points at halftime than CSU had in their game.
Yeah.
Think about that. They had more points at halftime. Colorado just hung 102 on the Florida freaking Gators. That is hysterically awesome. And I go back to Hot Take Tuesday presented by Papa Murphy's. I said, it doesn't matter what happened during the season. It's who are you right now?
Yeah.
And mojo matters. Momentum matters. Being hot, feeling great about yourself matters. I had the Buffs beating Boise State and upsetting Florida.
You did.
Here they freaking are, man. This is such a cool story for a team that I've been critical of for their lack of postseason success. And here they are in such a big way. Correcting the narrative around that program.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how this game's gonna go with Marquette. I know Marquette's a solid team. They've been beaten. All right, so yeah, they can be beaten, but it's gonna ultimately come down to what do the Colorado Buffaloes do. Now, we had the game in our hands at one point, and we're looking up at the screen, Zach, and it's 100 to 100.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, what's going on?
Yeah.
They can't do that versus a team like Marquette. If they have the lead, if they have the handle of the game, they have to find a way to finish it off. Okay, if they want to win the next one.
We shall see. This has potential to be an awesome story. It's already a good story with winning in the first four against Boise State and now beating number 7 seeded Florida. I can only imagine the scene up in Boulder on campus today.
All your roommates back in Boulder.
Holy moly.
That's crazy.
That is really, really fun. Good for that student population. That's great, man. And Marquette is a 2 seed. It's a real basketball team. They've lost 9 games all year long. They put it on 15-seeded Western Kentucky yesterday. It's going to be a tall task. They're well coached. Shaka Smart, who made his name at VCU, bringing those kids to the Final Four a long, long time ago, didn't work out at Texas. Took the Marquette job. He's got the Golden Eagles flying around. They're awesome, man. They are awesome. It's going to be a tall task. Marquette has a kid named Cam Jones that is one of the better scorers in the country. So, hey, pack a lunch in these one-off settings, man.
Yes, sir.
Anything can happen. So, congratulations to Colorado and the Buffs. They are moving on. Survive in advance, bro. That's the name of the game.
Moving and grooving.
I love it. I love it. Okay, let's shift gears here because I threw out a topic in the, at the top of hour number two that we never really got to get into.
Yeah.
And the question is, could the biggest upgrade for the Denver Broncos in 2024 already be in-house? The Broncos, not super active in free agency, don't have a ton of draft capital. So if they are going to be better than people expect them to be in 2024, people who are already here need to have big time corrections year over year and just play much better than they did in 2023. Who comes to mind as a member of the Denver Broncos where you say, hey, that there's way better football in that guy than we saw this past season?
Well, it has to come from both sides. So what side do you want to start with?
It's offense.
Okay, offensively. All right, you know what you're going to get out of Courtland Sutton. You know, he's going to be steady for you. He's going to be consistent. But a player that needs to emerge out of the ashes and help this team win games, it's going to be Marvin Mims. Mm. Okay, they drafted him for a reason. All right, they got rid of Jerry Jeudy because they believe in Marvin Mims. You know, and so Marvin Mims is the only player I know could go for two catches and over 100 yards.
Mm.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
You know, he has the ability to take the top off of a house, right? But also, if he can get his route running down, you know, if he can get that trust from whoever the quarterback is, that's what I'm looking for this year, that year one to year two big jump. And he's the one to do it. And I believe that he has the confidence to do it. He's played enough games. This is one that got to play in the games. Not like a Riley Moss or you know, whoever else. What's the center's name?
Alex Forsythe.
Forsythe.
Yeah.
Right, we're going to have to get used to that name because he's seemingly going to be the center this year, right?
Yeah, yep.
They're still, we don't know what they're about. They're rookies again. Not Marvin Mims. He's played enough, right? So now I'm expecting him to take the reins and have a really good season.
I like that. I really like that. What kind of jump can Marvin Mims make from year one to year two? That's a good one. And that could have us feeling better about that room in general, especially him being on a rookie contract.
Yeah.
Tim Patrick restructuring his deal. And Tim Patrick, he could be kind of looked at as like a guy like Val Nichushkin. Of like someone who is already here that you're reintegrating.
Yeah.
That obviously Val didn't miss as much time as Tim Patrick, and obviously for totally different reasons. But along the same lines of like an in-house guy who is going to rejoin the group and has a chance to be a steadying force in the wide receiver room.
I mean, when you look at Val, you're like, man, I miss that. Like, I'm glad Val's back.
Yeah.
Tim Patrick can be the same way. If Tim can stay healthy, can get past camp, maybe we shouldn't have him play, you know, practice in the camp.
You right? may be on to something, right? I mean, it's been ugly.
But if he can finally just stay healthy and he can have that big playability like we know he can and he has in the past, we're going to be sitting here saying that was the missing link that they were missing last year that could have helped them get to the playoffs. And we're going to say, man, we missed Tim.
Another guy who comes to mind for me, it's not necessarily jump from year one to year two rookie into sophomore campaign, but it's year one to year two following a devastating injury. And that's Javonte Williams. And I just do not believe, and maybe I'll be proven otherwise if I see it again, but I just do not believe what we saw from Javonte in 2023 was a representation of who that guy can be when he's fully healthy. And I'm sure he was healthy enough to play in games, but not healthy enough to be the A-plus version that I saw that rookie year.
Yeah.
Phil, maybe he'll never get back to that. But this coming year, I think, is a massive year because when that guy was right, I could fairly forecast, like, man, that's one of the 10 best running backs in the NFL.
Yeah.
If he can get back to that form, combined with this offensive line, which is solid, it could change the Broncos' offense.
Yeah, it's going to come down to Javonte being healthy and Sean Payton putting Javonte in the best situation for him, making sure they tailor runs towards his strengths.
Mm.
Okay, not giving him pitches all the time. He's not fast enough to just continue to give pitches. But get some pullers around him. He breaks a lot of tackles, and I keep saying that. Get pullers around him, right? You have someone like Jaleel McLaughlin that is that barn burner, that it's explosive for you. You have to put him in the right situation, the best situation to help you guys win games. So it goes, you know, for both of them. But if Javonte Williams is going to have a great year, one, he's going to have to stay healthy, okay, and the offensive line is going to have to gel together. And if those two, him being healthy and offensive line gels, it's going to be a really great combo along with someone like Jaleel McLaughlin.
And whoever plays quarterback, that's just going to take stuff off their plate.
You need that, especially at a young, if he's a young quarterback.
And even if it's not going to be a young quarterback, it's going to be Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah, it is.
Who's Sparky. Also young by, you know, you have to like look at him and like your NFL experience. He's played four games.
Yeah.
Four total ever. 1-1. So if it's Stidham, which it feels like there is momentum growing where it just could be Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah, Zach, you're starting to get onto something. I'm with you on this one. It's looking like Jarrett Stidham is going to be the guy to at least start the year off. Now, you would still think they would bring somebody in to compete.
They'll do something.
Keep them healthy.
They'll
right?
do something.
And then hopefully whoever we draft, I don't see beating out Jarrett Stidham. Even if it's J.J. McCarthy, I don't see them beating out Jarrett Stidham because Jarrett Stidham just knows the offense a little bit more, has game experience, and has a little feistiness to him. I don't think he's just going to give it up.
Well, if it's J.J. McCarthy, that means the Broncos would have traded up definitely in the top 10, maybe in the top 5. You see that story where Arizona said, we're open for business.
Yeah, I've seen it. Well, I think they're, what, number 4?
They're number 4.
Okay, yeah.
So maybe it's the Broncos moving up. If they go and move up into the top 5, and they draft J.J. McCarthy, the last person I want to see playing quarterback for the Denver Broncos is Jarrett Stidham.
I mean, come on.
No disrespect.
Cleveland Browns, though.
What's
that? Cleveland Browns had Baker Mayfield, number one.
It's true.
And Tyrod Taylor ended up winning the job. Sometimes it's just best to go that way because you don't want to throw somebody in the fire, especially if they are truly not ready because we want to see somebody. And to save them and to help them out, it may be best that Jarrett Stidham does start. You know, we've been watching his film a little bit more, Zach.
Yeah.
And we can kind of see why Sean likes Jarrett Stidham.
That game against San Francisco was very impressive. And that was that first impression that was made on Sean, that he may still be riding that wave off that first impression.
Yeah.
We had that conversation 2 days ago. You go hit it up on the Drive podcast if you missed it, because I think it's relevant. And then some other candidates that come to mind when it comes to in-house guys that need to take a leap if the Broncos are going to be better than a lot of people expect them. You said Marvin Mims.
Yep.
I said Javonte Williams. Another guy could be Mike McGlinchey, one of the highest paid right tackles in the NFL, just did not have a great first year in Denver. From the pre-snap penalties to the maybe stuff being set up against him with Russ always escaping right and some of those sacks because he gave up the most sacks on the team. He did not have a good year, and if his second year can be just significantly better, Mike Clay from ESPN ranked every unit. The only top 10 unit the Broncos have is the offensive line.
Yeah.
If McGlinchey plays even better, maybe it could be a top 5 offensive line, just making everyone's job easier.
Yeah, McGlinchey will play better. McGlinchey's going to play better because whoever's in that pocket's going to stay more in the pocket, right? That's what Sean wants. And a lot of his stuff was because of Russell Wilson scrambling to his side. If McGlinchey can clean up some of his footwork, he's going to be just fine. He's a veteran. He's been doing it for a long time. He got paid this money, not just because, but he's shown stuff. So I do believe that McGlinchey's going to have a better year, more comfortable year, and he's going to be a lot more confident and ready to play this year.
And I'll just say this. I mentioned the Russ stuff. You mentioned the Russ stuff.
Yeah.
Even without the raw number of the stats that go on Mike McGlinchey, because I think he gave up like 8 of them this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, Russ scrambling out to the right constantly. But if Sean, what is this all about, this quarterback search? It's finding someone who can play in Sean's system.
Yeah.
What are the hallmarks of it? According to Drew Brees at the Super Bowl, timing, rhythm, tempo. If the Broncos can get back to an offense where the trains are running on schedule, if you're Mike McGlinchey, I think that helps him out just so massively when you know what you're in store for more oftentimes than not, you know, play by play as opposed to more of the backyard football. And I don't mean that negatively towards Russ, but Russ does some of his best moments come off schedule.
Yeah.
I don't think offensive linemen love that.
No, they don't.
Construct.
They don't. They don't love it. Think about it. They're 330 pounds. Right? It's already hard for them to move versus a defensive end that's 250 running a 4-4.
Right.
Right? All of a sudden, your quarterback's moving around. You don't know where he's going. Then all of a sudden, you're holding. Right? My running back coach used to tell me this, right? We would have, like, toss plays. And if
was that Modkins? Was that Curtis Modkins?
Coach Mod.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you start to get outside the play, try to get outside of it, you know, when it's supposed to be kind of an inside play or you get the toss and get inside of it, you're setting your offensive lineman up to fail because now they have no choice but to hold because they're trying to hold on to a block that's outside of the play. And so you have to set your offensive line up. And Russ didn't do that, you know, when it came to McGlinchey a lot of times of running outside of his block. So, yeah, offensive linemen do not like that.
So I think McGlinchey's a candidate for this. Who else comes to mind for you as a candidate that in-house guys that could take a big jump year over year? And, you know, because, and with the reason we're having this conversation, because a lot of times you say, hey, if the Broncos are bad, you got to go get new players. You got to get them through the draft. You got to get them through free agency because what you have isn't good enough. But the Broncos weren't very active in free agency in like a first wave or even, you know, potentially kind of in some cases second wave type of deal. And you don't have a lot of draft picks. Internal guys just need to play better football. I have a name.
I got one too.
What do you got?
I feel like we're going to say the same person or nearly the same person.
I have two of them, so okay. I can pivot whichever way you want.
I think you're going on left side or the right side because I'm going to go with Nick Bonito.
Oh.
I
was not going to go there.
I say Nick Bonito one. You know, it seems like he's talking a lot on that social media now.
He is online.
You know,
online.
You know, I didn't know he was so social on the social media stuff.
Which by the way, he...
And, he hasn't been, right?
And he would tell me to go screw himself. He would tell me to go screw myself if he heard me say this. But he needs to be careful with it because this is a guy who's already come at fans. Have you seen him go at fans?
No.
Of like, you know, people were saying, hey, you know, Broncos don't have a lot of cap space. He's like, you know, go find a different team then. And stuff. Yeah. Like, hey, don't battle with the fans. Don't do that. That's typically you're not going to win that.
Well, see, that's the issue when you have some of these players that you end up giving a starting role to and they think that they've arrived and that they can start chirping at the mouth at times. Well, we'll see. We'll see this year. Because the thing is you have to be ready when you're doing well. Okay, cool. But when you're not doing well, like, you need to hold that same energy.
Yeah.
And don't be angry and mad when people are talking about you when you're not doing well, when we need you to do well, when you're a starter.
Yeah.
Right? If you're a starter, you're out there for a reason. Go out there and showcase your talent. I think Nick Bonito needs to have that big jump, though. Okay, you have Cooper on one side, Bonito on the other side. He needs to have a big jump, especially if he gets opportunity. They don't take a defensive end this year or a linebacker this year that can play that role. It's given him the opportunity to showcase that he belongs here in Denver for a long time.
Yeah, I like that one. Big time improvement from year one to year two, from 2022 to 2023. Played in 15 games each year. Now, obviously, his snap count was much more the second year. But he went from 14 tackles to 30 tackles. Nick Bonito went from 1.5 sacks to 8 sacks. I mean, that is some sort of jump.
Yeah.
If he makes even a similar jump from year two to year three, you're looking at a bona fide starter, double-digit sack guy. And he's got the physical ability to do it. He is quick off that edge, man. He's got real speed to him at 6'3", 240. You know, I'll go with the same position, but for different reasons. If I'm looking for an internal guy that can legitimately change his entire unit by him playing better football than the previous year and healthier football than the previous year, I look no farther than Baron Browning.
I like it.
When Baron Browning is right, man, that guy looks like he's got, like, and I got to be careful getting carried away, but there are times with his bend getting to the quarterback, I'm like, does this guy have star quality? Like, does he have star potential? And when I say star, I'm not talking about going to the Hall of Fame, but I'm talking about being a double-digit sack guy in the NFL.
Well, at one point, people were kind of comparing that bendability, the flexibility to Von Miller, right? He does have that power to him, that fast twitch muscle and the length and the ability to be flexible and bend across that you start to kind of see flashbacks of, okay, this is what Von has done. But Baron Browning has to stay healthy, and he has to be consistent. And that's two things he hasn't been, consistent and healthy.
Right, yeah. And he got hurt last offseason, right? He was working out there with Hell's Trainer, whoever that is in California, that's his nickname. It was meniscus, I think, for Baron Browning last offseason. So he missed the offseason. He missed OTAs. He missed training camp. And then he missed the first, I believe it was 7 games of the season, came back and played the last 10 or so. But, yeah, he's definitely a candidate who internally needs to step up in a major way.
And Cooper, right? He's done some great stuff on the edge. He's another one that they had to rely on, you know, a lot this year, and he found ways to make plays. He just has to stay consistent. If they can all three do some good things this year,
yeah,
it's going to be a scary unit and a unit that needs to continue to get better on the run, all right? And they're going to beef up that middle, right? I think that they're going to beef up the middle here soon. But if they can have these young kids that are still on rookie deals, it's going to help them out dramatically.
Yeah, we'll see how it shakes out. I mean, if they can all stay healthy by committee, even if there's not one star that emerges between Benito and Cooper, yeah, and Browning, if they can stay healthy and do it by committee, that would be massive. And then another guy that comes to mind on the offensive side of the ball, that when we're, if we're talking about internal candidates who just need to play better football, and health is tied into this one as well, it's a guy we've, you know, initially we're going back and forth with, and it's Greg Dulcich. It's Greg Dulcich, who, again, I'm sure the Denver Broncos are going to address the tight end position in the draft, whether it's first round, second, yeah, whatever. They're going to walk away from the draft with a tight end. Regardless of that, Greg Dulcich needs to stay healthy, because even if the Broncos drafted a tight end in the first round, that position is so historically slow starting. You're going to need another pass catcher in the fold, at least for the first half of the season, while Brock Bowers or fill in the blank is getting, yeah, acclimated to the NFL level, because there will be a period of acclimation. Someone like Greg Dulcich needs to be there for this football team. It starts with staying healthy. Yeah. He's going into year three. There's been issues for both years. You just got to get that figured out.
Yeah, and for me, Zach, I'm almost down and out on Greg Dulcich at this point. You know, just to be honest with you, because this is all about what have you done for me lately, okay, and staying healthy. And yeah, you're a great talent. There's a lot of players that are really, really good talents in the NFL, but they don't get to showcase it because they're always hurt. I'm not going to sit here and continue to wait on someone like Greg Dulcich. Why does he get the opportunity, other than him being young and still being on the rookie deal, to keep on showing us that he deserves to have that starting role? They need to go and address that tight end position. And if they don't pick up a quarterback in the first round, that first pick, it better be Brock Bowers, okay? It better be Brock Bowers if we're going to go in that situation and we're not picking up a quarterback. Because Greg Dulcich, to me, is somebody that you can't rely on, and I'm not sitting here going to sit here and put everything on this man again and come up short, and now we're sitting here like this year saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Who's the other one? Trotman.
Yeah, Adam Trotman.
You know, is he our savior? They paid him for 2 years.
Which that one's still 2 years, $7 million, yeah, for Adam Trautman. Wow. I mean, that's
surprising.
Greg
Dulcich needs to get his stuff together, man.
He does.
Needs to get his stuff together.
He does. And really, here's the bottom line.
Mm.
And especially if it's the hamstrings again, at a certain point.
It's a business.
Yeah.
It's a business.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah, I feel sorry for Greg Dulcich because he can't get that situation taken care of. But it's about winning games. It's about the Denver Broncos. And it's not about sitting here on a roster getting paid a lot of money just to sit here and watch the games.
All right, speaking of games, we have watched history take place today and last night. And we'll tell you why on both fronts coming up next.
Set luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will.
Man, we saw some Colorado sports history today.
A little bit of magic.
Little bit. There's a little something going on here. And we have a fun story that could be brewing. It's already a fun story no matter what happens here moving forward. Because your Colorado Buffaloes just probably about 35 minutes ago closed out number 7 Florida in an upset win, 10 over a 7. Now, by the odds, it was basically a coin flip.
Yeah.
Florida started as like a 2-3-point favorite. Colorado, I think, ended as a 1-point favorite. But on paper, it's a 10 upsetting a 7. And that means, Phil, that Tad Boyle has won back-to-back tournament games and has matched his previous total in this here tournament of his total wins in the last 14 years in the NCAA tournament.
Wow. That's big time, man.
It is.
That's big time. Good for Tad, man. Good for Tad. He's been working on this for a while. He's had, you know, talented teams in the past, Zach, but just couldn't get over the hump for some reason. For some reason, you know, they weren't able to get over the hump. This year, and this kind of was one of their most underwhelming years.
Yes.
But just like the Denver Nuggets have picked things up, just like MPJ has picked things up, the Colorado Buffaloes men's basketball team has picked things up at the right time.
They have, man. Credit to them. And, man, sports is so funny like this. Like, just when everyone's selling your stock and you did look dead in the middle of the season, you started off hot, then you hit this lull and guys were getting hurt and they lost 4 or 5 at one point.
Yeah.
But then they win 8 in a row. They go to the Pac-12 championship game. They sneak into the NCAA tournament as one of the last teams in. They beat Boise State, a team that beat them in the non-conference a year ago. So they beat Boise State, and then they turn around and beat Florida. The only two other tournament wins that Tad Boyle has had in the last decade and a half was going back to his first year in the Pac-12, where they won the Pac-12 tournament, and they played UNLV, and they beat UNLV. And then in 2021, they beat Georgetown and ended up losing to who did they lose to after they beat Georgetown?
It was Florida State.
So what a week for Tad Boyle and the Buffs. Now the women are playing right now, and they're playing Drake, and Drake got off to a great start.
A blistering start.
Drake got off to a blistering start, but since then, nothing was the same for Drake because they're now down 13-11. Anybody get that? Nothing was the same? The name of the album? They're now down, so CU has already stormed back. I'm sorry. So CU, for the first time ever, has men's and women's playing in the NCAA tournament on the same day. And, man, if they both pick up wins, Boulder, I may have to make a trip up to Boulder tonight.
No, you're not. I can't let you.
Absolutely not.
Because I'm going to be up there. No, but isn't this ironic that we have both of these coaches on our show?
Yes, yes.
You know, like that's a unique situation, and it's an honor on top of that to be able to talk to Coach J.R. Payne yesterday, and now they're playing right now. And Coach Tad, after him having that, you know, altercation with you, and you trying to file assault on him.
No, we had both coaches on, and both teams are going to pick up victories. I did reach out to CSU. They never got back to me. They went on to score 11 points in the first half. So draw whatever conclusion of that you want to.
No.
We have Jake Shapiro from DenverSports.com on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Is Jake at the game? Jake, you were there. We have boots on the ground. What was that like?
Okay, so I literally just stepped out of the CU locker room, which is really cool because the conversation I had was a little off the record with Luke O'Brien, who's a key part of this CU team. Kind of a similar story to Phil, honestly, kind of underlooked as a high school guy. Tad took a chance on him. And funny enough, I was at a high school state championship game with Luke O'Brien, or not championship game, but a high school state playoff game. And Luke was playing against Boulder High. And Luke's opponent in that game was Pete Boyle, Tad's youngest son. Luke comes down, hits a three with like 30 seconds left to go to knock Boulder High out of the playoffs a couple of years ago. So I've known Luke for years, and to see that success finally for these Buffs to get to the round of 32, it just means so much to these guys. And I got to tell you, Zach, not only am I standing 5 feet outside of the locker room right now, I was standing on the baseline about maybe 35 feet from where KJ Simpson hit that shot. And boy, kind of Kawhi Leonard-esque, right? Like just bounced up there, felt like it was hanging in the sky for forever. Even KJ himself was like, well, it was bouncing. I didn't know how it felt, you know, coming out of the hand. But the one thing, the huge benefit I had of watching these games today, Zach, is the rims here in Indianapolis in the Marquette game early on against Western Kentucky, and all game Colorado and Florida, the rims were just so soft. So as soon as that ball went up, I knew it was going in. And Colorado finally just had to hold on for another 2 seconds after nearly blowing a 13-point lead.
So, Jake, what has been for this Cinderella story right now? Because both Zach and I at one point didn't think that Colorado was going to make it. Zach told old Tad that they were dead in the water.
I thought they were dead in the water, and I was wrong. I was raising my hand to the man, Phil.
And so what has gone on to see this change in the Colorado Buffs?
You know, that's a great question, Phil, and I think it's such a great question that I asked that question to Tad Boyle just a couple of minutes ago. You know, you go back to now they're, I think, 10-1 in their last 11 games, or 11-1, something like that, in their last dozen or so games. And they had this stretch of games out at USC and UCLA, and they just, they couldn't get it right against UCLA. They should have won the game. They kind of blew it, and it just, it didn't go well for them. And Tad talked about within that 24 hours before the USC game, they regrouped. And that USC team at the time, yes, their record was bad, but they were just getting healthy. They looked like they were going to have a strong second half. And Colorado goes into double overtime to win that game. They played some new lineups in that game. And ever since that happened, the team has showed the fight that they have shown all year in practice, but finally in game situations. And you will notice that even tonight, even when it looked like their defense faltered down the stretch, they were still fighting. They were coming through hitting clutch free throws. They were making clutch shots. They were always fighting in this game. And I think they have shown, unlike maybe some teams of the past, yes, they're maybe Tad's most talented group, but they also seem like such a together group right now. In fact, the music you just maybe heard blaring behind me was the entire team walking out behind me at the locker room.
I love it. Jake Shapiro, DenverSports.com. Before we let you go and get back to the action, and guys, Jake was at the game and is still at the game right outside the locker room. The knock on Tad Boyle, and it's not just a knock, it's just a truth. It's the lack of postseason success. Bunch of 20-win seasons, not a lot of postseason success. You got a win over UNLV in their first year in the Pac-12, a win over Georgetown in 2021. And that's been it over 14 years, but now a win over Boise State the other night, an upset over 7-seed Florida. How big is this for Tad Boyle and this program?
Well, it means a lot, Zach, and I think you've done a good job putting it into context, but the further context is the Buffs had won 3 tournament games in the 50 years prior to Tad Boyle stepping foot on campus in Boulder. They've won 4 now in the last 12, 14 years, whatever it's been under Boyle. It's been quite a while. And they're in kind of a crossroads right now as they enter the Big 12. They've got a very senior-heavy team, and they're about to change recruiting pipelines, opponents that they play. Everything in the world of Colorado basketball, I think, is going to shift more dramatically than it is for football. That shift to the Big 12 is going to change everything for the program. So if they can end up in the second weekend of the tournament and upset Marquette and Florida and find a way through 3 tournament wins to that second weekend, I think that's such huge momentum for the future of this program. And Tad has done nothing but a great job of continuing to bolster this program. Yes, maybe it has plateaued at times. I agree with that. But it's better off than where it was before Tad stepped foot. And towards the end of his career now, he's been here for quite a while, to have this level of team and to have 3 NBA draft picks on a team led by a guard who's continued the tradition of Corey Higgins, Alec Burks, Spencer Dinwiddie, McKinley Wright, and Derek White. I think it's just such an incredible Colorado basketball story. And, oh, yeah, there's a bunch of Colorado kids on this story, too. So it's going to be a really tough fight, Zach. I know you've watched a lot of Marquette, as have I. Saw them play earlier today here in Indianapolis. Tyler Kolick is back. He's a heck of a guard. Oso Iguodaro is going to be an NBA draft pick. He's a heck of a player. So this is going to be a fight, but they just showed in the last 48 hours that they can turn it around in 48 hours, put up a good scouting report, and then come out with their legs on fire.
Jake, great framing. Love that you're there with boots on the ground, giving us unique perspective from the location where the game was played. Fantastic stuff, and continue to ride this train, man. Have a great time tonight. We'll check in with you next week.
Yeah, I'm going to have a great time. Hopefully I'm going to be able to see what J.R. Payne's crew's up to, right?
I absolutely love it. We got the game on here. Thanks, Jake.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there he goes, Jake Shapiro, there at the game. And then CU women right now going head-to-head with Drake. And, man, and guess where they're playing? They're playing in my hometown. They're playing in Albany, New York right now.
Okay.
So if CU has a chance as a 5th seed playing 12 seeded Drake, but Drake is not going away here.
Hey, hold on. Because I just want to make sure I help you out here. So Region 2 is where they'll end up.
Oh,
yeah. But gotcha.
I'm sorry. Kansas, who's hosting. I knew that. Brain fart, so stupid.
You're a fraud, huh? You know you're like your own hometown.
Well, if they win, if they keep winning, they will butt heads with Iowa potentially again in Albany. I believe that's when it gets a crack in there. Okay. All right. Well, great stuff, man. We have found ourselves going in the last segment on a Friday. You did it again, Phil. Proud of you. We'll come and put a bow on this and what we're watching for this weekend coming up next.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5.
Not two, not three, not four.
Presented by High Five Plumbing. Here's Zach and Phil.
All right. Heading into the weekend. Last segment. Thanks for making us a small part of your Friday, whether it was your ride home or maybe you got us pulled up in the house. Maybe you're listening after the fact on the Drive podcast. However you found us today, we appreciate it. Phil, it's the Drive's Top 5 of the night, brought to you by High Five Plumbing. Instead of just tonight, be the whole weekend.
Yeah.
What are you going to be looking out for?
Yeah, of course, for me, let's just go the whole weekend. The Colorado Buffaloes, the men's basketball team right now. Okay, they got away with one here with Florida. It was 100-100. KJ Simpson was able to put the dagger in there.
Incredible, man.
You know, so now we're moving on to Marquette. I think that's Sunday, right, Zach? Is that Sunday?
Yes, it'll be Sunday afternoon. Okay. That's right.
So Sunday for me, I'm going to be sitting there in front of the couch hoping that Tad Boyle can get another win. And on top of that, hopefully the Lady Buffs win as well so I can watch them.
That would be awesome. They are leading Drake in the second quarter, all right, on the women's side. They changed that rule a few years ago. No two halves. It's four quarters, all right. 26-21 up on Drake, all right. And if you're listening to the podcast, if you're reading this, it's too late. Because the game is probably over against Drake. Anyone? Again? If you're reading this, it's too late. Damn, I'm trying here, man. I'm trying. I'm really trying. Drew.
I was like, fire up the crickets. Here we go. Yeah.
These are Drake albums, guys. All right.
Yeah, it was like his third or fourth album.
Yes. KJ, simmer down.
Drew, what are you looking for this weekend?
Well, boys, we got two games of hockey this weekend. Of course, we got the Avs against the Blue Jackets tonight. We got the Avs against the Penguins on Sunday. We got March Madness, Phil, the Buffs going on Sunday. But, guys, I get to go take Little Man to Disney on Ice tomorrow. Yes, we're gonna do a little Disney on Ice down in the Springs tomorrow. Down in the Springs. Going to the World Arena. Cool. Check that out. This should be a good time. I think it's Moana and Coco or something like that. I don't even know. I'm just there for the fun, man. It's gonna be a good time,
dude. Little dude is gonna love.
Oh, he's gonna have a blast.
We did that with my son when he was, I think, 3 or 4, and he just ate it up. Kamaje. What are you looking for this weekend in the Drive's Top 5 of the night, brought to you by High Five Plumbing?
In the words of Zach, oh, doctor.
Oh, doctor.
Yeah, man, this weekend, I'm going to have my eyes on the sports stuff. That you guys don't even have to worry about, all right? There's a new documentary out on Hulu called Freaknik.
Freaknik.
It details.
Do the kids need to be asleep?
You better. They better be.
Okay.
It details what black college spring break used to be through the 80s and 90s. And they detail how it went from something super cool to something that got a little out of hand. And so I kind of want to see how did the evolution of that happen, because I hear people talk about it all the time. As you guys know, Shannon Sharp, he went to Savannah State. He talks about how iconic it was in Georgia. So it'll give me a chance to kind of check that out and see what the 80s and 90s were really like back then.
So this is Freaknik detailing the spring break of black students and basically their promiscuity over spring break.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Let me know how that is.
I got you.
Let me know how that is. I might check that out.
Yeah, I might check it out too.
Really cool story that I'm going to microwave and give even bigger shout out Monday. We were going through the Avalanche schedule.
Yeah.
2 days ago. And I was like, well, the next time the Avs play, it's Friday night against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And then they play the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I saw the time. This is live on the air. I'm just thinking out loud, like, with you, saying, oh, look at that. It's a noon puck drop at Ball Arena. I said, yeah. My son has never been to an Avs game. And now I know he can sit through, as he sat through Denver Nuggets game.
For sure.
Earlier this year. I said, man, that, you know, maybe that's a game I'll bring him to. So we go to commercial break, and Drew Spivak comes in here and says, hey, there's a guy on the text line that wants to give you his tickets. And the text line, that's a dangerous place.
Yeah.
That's its own documentary.
Yeah,
all right?
Somebody may not like you. You yes. got beat up.
Yes.
And the rest of your hair is gone.
Yes. Or yes, yes. And so, but I'm looking at the guy. I'm looking at previous text messages that he has sent. Yeah. And normal guy, which is a rarity on the RamosLaw.com text line because there's some wild birds out there.
Yeah,
and,
there is.
But we start talking. He said, hey, my son is in a competition. He's got a 17-year-old that's out of state. They're not able to go to the game. He said, I want to give you my tickets.
That's
he said,
so
I
cool,
listen
man.
To you and Phil every day. And I'm like, wow, man. This dude, so I took the risk and gave him my phone number, which I've never done in 7 years, and this dude sent me his tickets.
That's so cool, man.
Phil, I click on the tickets. We're sitting in the first row. Woo. My son's first game as a five-year-old will be on the glass yes. in section 148. He doesn't know when my first games, we set up in the very top, yeah. very, very top. He doesn't know how good he has it, and he doesn't know we're going yet. But when I tell this kid we're going to go to our Avs game, go to our first Avs game, and this listener named John Kavas, K-A-V-A-S, I hope I'm saying that right. If you know John Kavas, man, I can't wait to see the look on my son's face.
Now you're going to get him a jersey? You said
yes.
you would.
Oh, definitely. Okay. Well, I'll take him to the team store. He'll get to pick one thing, whatever he wants, and maybe even have a sign, like my first Avs game, see if we can maybe get a puck in pregame, something like that. So that will be the highlight of my weekend, in addition to all the basketball and the tournament and the Nuggets and all that. So can't wait. And if you see me at the game on Sunday, make sure you say what's up. All right, man. Fun week, Phil.
It was.
Fun week,
fast,
man.
Fast
yeah,
week.
It did, man. That's what happens when you're having fun. You have a great weekend with the family. And we'll do this again on Monday.
Yes, sir.
Huge shout out, Kamaje Granderson and Drew Spivak behind the glass. Thanks for riding shotgun with us on the drive this week. We step aside. Denver Sports Tonight is coming up next.